is as we wrap this thing up, we've been talking about trash, we're talking about treasure, identifying it, what to do with your emotions, the baggage that you carry day in and day out. It all boils down to two things. What do you do with trash? And what do you do with treasure? And you know, the funny thing about both of those items is that you do the exact same thing with them. I know it seems kind of strange, but you do the exact same things with trash and with treasure. Because life is about income and outgo. You know, there's a sea in America called the Salton Sea. And if you go to the Salton Sea, it's actually a man-made sea. And if you go, you'll find that there's a sandy beach. There's a sandy beachhead. And if you were to bend down and pick up a handful of that sand, and if you were to look at it very closely, you'd see that the little pebbles are hollow. And the reason they're hollow is because it's not sand at all. The entire beachhead of the sea, of that little sea, of that little lake, it's really not sand at all. It's fish bones. It's ground up, nasty old little tiny fish bones. They're hollow, it's white, it's real lightweight. But the reason it's fish bones is because that sea, that man-made sea, was an accident. And what happened is the water came in and it got stuck without an outlet. It means water would come in and the water would seek and suck out all the salt in the dirt around it. And it became too salty. It became a dead sea. And the fish couldn't handle it, so they all began to die. And as they rotted and as their bones were left, they would get crushed underfoot and they get smashed by the waves. And it created a beachhead, not made of sand or dirt, but of bones. It's a dead body of water. Because something comes in, but it never goes out. You know, that's the funny thing about both good and bad things, is that they were never meant to be held onto. Because that's what a hoarder is. So a hoarder gets things that they keep them, they're pack rats. They just let all their treasures and all their trash just stack up ceiling high. And whether it's valuable or whether it's not, whether it's garbage or whether it's treasure, if it's hoarded and it's only kept in one place, it all ends up trash. It all ends up hurtful because good things were never meant to stay in the same place either, just like bad things were. You know, Philippians 3:8, you don't got to turn there, but, you know, Paul writes, and he says, look, guys, I found out what the difference is between trash and treasure, real trash, real treasure. Now I know. I thought it was one thing, but now I know it's another thing. And then Paul says, look, now I know that everything that I used to value, I don't. I let it go. And the things that I do have now, the things that I do value, the right things, the real things, I get it and I give it out to others. You see, treasure was meant to be shared. Just two things. Treasure was meant to be shared. In Matthew 10, verse 7 and 8, Jesus is telling the disciples, he says, guys, look, you've been seeing me do all these things. You've been watching me heal people. You've been watching me, you know, rescue people. But he says, you know what, I want you to grab your best friend and I want you guys to go out to these cities. I want you to do exactly what I did for you. I want you to do what I told everybody else. I'm going to tell you guys to do what I did for everybody else. Matter of fact, it says in Matthew 10, verse 7, if you have it, go put it up there. It says, as you go preach. See, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Next verse. He says, I want you to heal the sick. I want you to cleanse the lepers. I want you to raise the dead. Hey, can you imagine your homework assignment today? Raise the dead. I expect a report and pictures, or it didn't happen. So, and he says, cast out demons. You know they're at your school, all over the place. And he says this, and this is what he says here. He says, freely you've received, freely give. Freely you've received, freely give. When you were born, all you were was a helpless, whiny ball of slime. It's true. I was there. I saw my kids. Nasty, slimy, whiny lizards. That's all they were. And that's all you were when you were born. Nasty old slimy lizards. It's just disgusting. Disgusting. You didn't have nothing. Couldn't do nothing for yourself. And here you are today. Not as slimy. Not very lizardy. But everything you have is a gift to you. Were it not for God, you could not survive more than 2 minutes if God didn't provide you the air that's in your lungs today. So who are we to keep the treasures that God's given us? Your time. Look, it's not that you don't have enough time. It's that we aren't generous enough with our time. Our prayers. Who are we when we see someone hurt to keep our prayers to ourselves? You know, there was a problem in the church. The old ladies weren't getting fed, and they sought out. They were seeking for people to help feed these old ladies. They found 7 people, said they were full of faith. And the funny thing is, their job was to give food out. But see, the Bible doesn't describe them as people that gave food out. No, the Bible, if you look in Acts, the sixth chapter, Acts, you don't got to turn there, read it later. But if you look, the way the Bible describes the way these guys lived their life was not those 7 guys that gave out food. No, it says their hands worked miracles. Their hands worked miracles. Not they helped old ladies. That's not what the Bible reports them saying. Not that they gave, because they did. They helped old ladies that gave out food. But the Bible says, look, no. When they were generous, they worked miracles. Now, I don't know if your generosity is spending more time with your little brother. But if that's what God's called you to be generous with, you're not spending little time with your little brother. You're working miracles. Because God does miracles through generosity. Without generosity, there is no good thing that God can do. Think about it. Every good thing that God's ever done was an act of generosity, right? Show me in the Bible one place where God did something good. He wasn't generous to somebody. Show me one thing in the Bible where God worked through somebody. It wasn't generous. The stingy man will never see miracles, but the generous man lives a life full of them. Which one are you? Because treasure hoarded is trash. Pastor Joe, where's Pastor Joe at? Where's Pastor Joe? Pastor Joe, get up here, man. You got 5 minutes. Oh, brother, take his jacket off. Brother took his jacket off. Oh. Hope you're wearing your fireproof vest. About to get hot in here.
Actually, you may not. I'm just going to go real short. Actually, let me have you guys turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. This is a verse that God spoke to me as a young man, as a teenager. In fact, I remember this reading this not too long after I had been to camp and had experienced this wonderful presence of God and this change of life. And this is the Word of God, so we know that the Word of God is of no private interpretation. In other words, what God spoke to me from the Word of God, it was not just for me, but anybody who's willing to receive it. And basically what God told me was, hey, listen, I want to use your life. There are things that I want to do with your life, as Pastor Richard has even been sharing. There's some gifts and there's some callings and there's some things I've placed in your heart, in your life. And listen, I want to use you to touch people's lives. And here in this verse, I found these words, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 19. I'm just going to read to you a few verses here. I just think, I don't even know if I even need to say anything because it just so speaks for itself. In verse number 19, it says, nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows who are his. And it says, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. In other words, there needs to be a separation in your life. You need to separate yourself, and I'm just going to be straightforward and clear with you tonight. If you've got sin in your life, that's what we call trash. And you need, there needs to be a separation. You need to separate yourself from that. You need to get away from that. You don't need to be hoarding on and holding on to sin. You know what? Quite frankly, I find too many young people making excuses for their sin. And when you make an excuse for your sin and for the way that you are, hey, listen, I'm not trying to be hard on anybody today. I'm not trying to be down on anybody today. But when you make excuses for the way that you are, really what you are doing is you are hoarding it and you're holding on to it and you're not bringing that godly separation that you should. And the reality is this, is regardless of what your excuse is, regardless of what my excuse is, regardless of what Pastor Richard's excuses could be, you have the grace of God, and you have the Spirit of God, and you have the Word of God, and you are a new creation. You have the blood of Jesus, and there's no reason why you and I can't get past the issues that we face. So he says, let everyone who names the name of Christ, regardless of your culture, your upbringing, your experience, let him depart from iniquity. And then he says here in verse 20, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. You know how it works at your house? It works just like it did at my house, and it does at my house. When you got special guests and people coming over, you pull out the china. You pull out the nice stuff. When it's just you and your friends and your family, you pull out what? You pull out the paper plates, and you just throw them around everywhere. And that's what God is trying to say to you. Listen, you have a choice to make. You can either be a paper plate in the house of God, or you can be some china. Which do you want to be? So he says here, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, or the old life, the sinful life, the old way of doing things, he says he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Hey, listen today, if you want to be useful to the master, if you want to be ready to do some good in your world and with your family and with your friends and at your school and wherever it is that you go from this moment on until you die, listen, you've got to separate, you've got to let the latter go, the old lifestyle go, and you have to move forward in the things of God. This is how to be a vessel of honor. And then, okay, so one more time, verse 21, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself, notice how it says, you got to do the cleansing. You will be a vessel of honor, sanctified, useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Verse number 22, and I'll quit. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. These should be your pursuits today. Today, again, I think walking away from this, all I want you to take from me is that God wants to use your life. God's got great things in store for your life. But today, you've got to play your part. You've got to have a separation and take the trash out. Amen.
That was good. I like that. Look. Bottom line, a hoarder is a person that refuses to let go of something that was never meant to be held onto. And with the treasure God's given you, your time, your effort, look, if God has given you an ability or a talent, you need to release that into God's hands because it never belonged to you in the first place. It was freely given to you. Sure, you practiced, and sure, you put effort into it, and maybe sure, you've refined it, but only as God permitted. So don't begin to think yourself highly than you ought, because the truth of the matter is this, is we're all like an ant in comparison to God because your treasure was never meant to be held onto. A stingy man sees no miracles. And Pastor Joe put it perfectly. That trash was never meant to be hung on to either. Sin. Sometimes the fun sin that we like to kind of keep hidden. The stuff we like to save for a rainy day. Our attitudes, our thoughts. The things nobody quite knows about. That trash needs to be taken out. And if you're anything like our wonderful Shelby here, who has a problem with cats, as well as other things. That's a true story. I tell you, I've seen her do it numerous times. I would not trust my cat with her, and neither should you. Do not. She's crazy. Crazy. In Jesus' name. Release her. That's a joke. But that only happens with when you confess. I'm going to use a church word, confession. Not an usher word. No, a church word, confession. And confession is admitting when you're wrong. Look, as long as you, like Pastor Joe said, make excuses, you will never take out your trash, and it will get higher and higher and higher. And if you've ever been lazy like me and you've let your trash can overflow in your kitchen or wherever it is that you keep it underneath your sink, whatever, then you will find it is a very ugly, smelly sight with bugs in it, and it gets nasty. Don't look at me like that. Confession is the first step to taking your trash out. And tonight, if you have beef, trash with somebody else, you need to confess it. Because confession is a funny little word that connects with the word called forgiveness. If you got problems with people, you need to confess to them. But Pastor Richard, I didn't know we were Catholic. What? No! Confession's not a Catholic thing, man. Confession is a Christian thing. If you got problems with people, you need to confess what you've done wrong, your attitudes, your thoughts. Look, Pastor Richard, I don't got a problem with people. All right, then you confess to God. Because I know some of us in this place, including me, have problems with God. See, confession is the way of life for a Christian. It's the way of life. Because as soon as you spill all your issues, tomorrow you're going to find new issues to pick up. And you got to confess those too. And see, confession leads to repentance. Pastor Joe said it perfectly. He said, you got to take the trash out. That means you've got to repent. Repent is not brimstone and hellfire and sulfur and flames and hell. No, man. Repentance is a way of life for a Christian too. If you call yourself a Christian, your whole life you'll be confessing. If you call yourself a Christian, your whole life you'll be repenting. That's not just something sinners do. Repent. You better repent because the kingdom of God is at hand. That's not just a joke. That's for real. So you better start repenting. Pastor Richard, that scares me. Good. Let it scare you. Let it keep you up at night. Let it give you bad dreams. Is that creepy? Well, it should be. I read Revelation. Ooh. But on the real, you need to repent. But Pastor Richard, doesn't God say come as you are? Yeah. That's because you're jacked up. Hospital's not going to turn you away because you got a broken arm. They'll take you. But if you leave the hospital with a broken arm and no cast, you're probably stupid. God will take you just as you are. But if you leave God, if you leave the house of God, if you leave your prayer time the exact same way you came in, you may be stupid. You wouldn't dare leave the hospital without being treated. You would do whatever it is in your possibility, your ability to be treated by those doctors. So don't fool yourself. Repentance is exactly what that is. It's changing. Pastor Joe said it. He read it right here out of Timothy. Flee youthful lusts. Pursue righteousness. Change your direction. Give me the band up here. If you're in this place and you are not living for God, today is your chance to get your life right with God. Listen to me now. Listen to me. You could do this two ways. You could do it yourself. In your way, or you could do it God's way. But I'll tell you this, I've seen what happens when people live their way, and it does not turn out the way it ought to. But Pastor Richard, I'm okay with God. Look, I'm not asking how nice you are. I'm not asking if you go to church. I'm not asking if you pray. I'm not asking if you know John 3:16. I'm not asking those things. Today I'm asking, are you living for God or are you living for yourself? Today I'm asking you this, are you doing your thing or are you doing God's thing? Let me ask you this, when you leave this place tonight and you wake up tomorrow, If nothing changed, would you do things that honor God or would you do things that dishonor God? That's what I'm talking about. Because nice people don't get to heaven. I would even say this, people that read their Bibles don't even get to heaven. What? No, it's true. It's in there. If you read it, you'd know it. No. People who have committed their all to God. Those are people that get to heaven. What do you mean, Pastor Richard? Well, the Bible says this. The Bible says, Jesus said out of his own mouth, be born again, and then you'll inherit the kingdom. Oh, the Bible says from the beginning to the end, he says, all your heart, life, strength, body, and soul, your everything. That's what God's after. Not Wednesday or Sunday. God's not after Christmas and Easter. No, God's after everything. Not perfection, but God is after your everything. So if that's you in this place, and you've never repented. If that's you in this place, if you're living life wrong or against God, if you're one way in church in front of your parents and you're another way at home or with your friends when nobody, then I'm talking to you right now in this place. You need to confess, I'm not perfect. And then you need to repent. but I'm going to give my heart to God. If you're in this place and you've given God 50%, 60, 70, 80, 90% of your heart, I'm talking to you, because God doesn't want most of you. You're not going to make it. He wants all of you. So if that's you in this place, you need to give your heart to God. I'm talking to you. All it takes is one decision to give your everything to Him. So front to back, side to side, if you're in this place and you've been running from God instead of to God, if you've never done this before, look, if this was your last day on earth, if this was your last day on earth, then you were to close your eyes and never open them again. Would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? Those are the choices God gives you. And the beauty is it's a choice. Where would you go? Pastor Richard, I don't know. Well, then let's know, because all it takes is one decision. Just like 11 years ago, it just took two words, I do, for me to become a husband. Today, it's going to take one decision for you to give your heart to God, to surrender your life, to give your all, for God to forgive you. It's your choice. So today, right now, let's make a choice from the front to back, from side to side. If you're in this place and you want to make sure you'd go to heaven, if you're in this place and you need to give your heart to God, if you're in this place and you know that you have not and yet you do right now need to repent, if you are not sure if you'd make it to heaven, if you're in this place and you know that you've not been living for God the way you ought to, if you're in this place and I'm talking about you tonight, if that's you, on a count of three, I want you to put your hand up and put it right back down. And when you put your hand up, you're saying, Pastor Richard, that's me. I'm confessing right now. That's what I'm asking you to do. But what if somebody sees me? So what? Look, everybody saw Jesus when he died on a cross naked, bled out for us in front of the whole town. Look, if Jesus can do that for us, then look, we're in church, guys. The person next to you wants you to get your hand up. Surely you can say, I want to live for God. If he can die for us. So if you're in this place, front to back, side to side, if you need to give your heart to God, if you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, if you're in this place and you want to make sure you'd go to heaven, if you're in this place, look, if you're in this place and you know somehow, some way that I'm talking to you, I want you to get your hand up on the count of three. Don't wait another moment. Ready, one. If you need to get right with God, get your hand up. Ready, two. This is your moment. Get it up. Ready, three. Let me see who needs to get right with God in this place. Who in this place needs to get right with God? Thank you. Right there. Anybody else in this place? Look, God's not mad at you. Right over here. I see you. Right over there. Okay, cool. Two, three, four. Look, God's not right there. Five. God's not disappointed in you over here. Six. I see you right there. He's waiting for you right there. I see your hand right there. Who else? Right there. I see you right there. Who else? Who else? Who else? Right there. Right there. I see you guys, both of you guys. Who else in this place? If you know you need to give your heart to God. He's knocking on your heart, so let's do this right over here. Oh, got you. Anybody else? But Pastor Rich, I've done this before. Well, look, I'm not asking who's never done this before. What I am asking is who is not sure they are saved. Who knows they're not living for God? Who's been living the lie? Because it's time to be free. Who else in this place, if you just want to make sure you're not too sure? Who else in this place? You know you're not living for God. Who else in this place? I don't know, it's like 8 or 9 or 100 people or something like that. Who else in this place? Who else? Who else? Who else? Who else? Who else? Who else? Last call in 3, 2, 1. All right, let's give God a praise. Cool. Everybody stand up. Everybody stand up real quick. Hey, the dozen of you guys or whoever it was, all across this room, you guys got your hands up. You confessed. Now let's repent. Right? We're going to pray. And when you pray, you're making a decision to change your life. Not on your own, but with God. Because you can't do it on your own. This would be like saying your vows in a marriage ceremony. So here's what I want you to do. If you got your hand up or you know you should have. Hey, if your friend got their hand up and they don't want to go alone, well, that's your job to be friend. I want you to get up out of your seat. If you got your hand up, I want you to get up out of your seat. I want you to come over here on this side, right over here. You guys got your hands up. Come on up. You guys got your hands up. Come on up. Come up. Grab a friend. I got Pastor Joe and the crew right over here. Come on up. Let's give him a big round of applause. You guys got your hands up. Come on. Make your way right over here. Yeah. With Pastor Joe and his homies over here. All right. Come on over here. Yeah. Let's give him a big round of applause right up here with Pastor Joe and the people. Come on up. Yeah. Come on up. Who else? Who else? If that was you or if you didn't and you know you should have, get up. Get up here right now. Don't wait another moment. Don't start your first step with God doing it your way. Let's start your first steps with God doing it His way. Come on up. That's right. Give a big round of applause. Come on. Somebody better celebrate. Yeah. Man, you guys came with that night. Pastor Richard's all loud and crazy. I got Pastor Joe, Megan, the whole crew here. They're going to pray with you guys. Tell you guys what to do next. Right? Because it's like everything. They want to get you guys some free stuff in the cafe, tell you, you know, what the next thing to do is give you a free Bible, all that kind of stuff. Just take a couple seconds. Then we'll talk to you. A couple minutes, then we'll talk to you, pray with you. And then you guys will be good to go. Hey, your friends, your family, they'll wait for you. You're not going to be gone long. So go ahead, take a left turn, right turn, whatever is over here. Follow Mondo and the gang here. Let's give them a big round of applause. Yeah. Why? I think church is going to be out in a minute or two. Right? Here's what we're going to do. It's man. All right, here's what's up. Is Pastor Joe said, you got to take the trash out and everything. And, you know, we prayed a little bit. We prayed a little bit last week, but, you know, let's take just another moment here. Let's take another moment here to pray. And where's some of my youth workers? If you're one of my youth workers, lift your hand up. Okay. Yeah. All y'all in the back over there. Mark, Dre. Oh, Briz, Jess. Yeah. Yeah, if you're a youth worker, just get up here. I don't care. All right. I would like my youth workers on this side and this side. Let's leave the middle open. Tonight, the band's going to play. Forever, how much long they are, they're going next door. I don't know. They're going to let me know. Here, get over, scoot over there, over there. Yeah, over there, over there. If you need to talk to somebody and confess, or if you just need prayer, these guys and gals, they're up here. Well, guy. And, oh, thank you. Yeah, Roman, get up here. Yeah, you might as well be an intern soon. Don't get a big head, though. But they'll pray with you. If you're in this place and you just need a moment with God because of your attitude or your situation or what you've been doing, look, I know you're saved, but you still, repentance is the life of a Christian. Then the altar or the sides or whatever is open for you just to talk with God and reconnect. But we're available and God's available. So as the band plays, we're going to have a moment up here where you can come and receive prayer talk or come to the altar and just lay it down. So Father, we thank you for this time. We surrender to you. God, we ask that you to receive our garbage as well as our treasure. In Jesus' name. And the band's just going to play. The altar's open. Come forward if you need to. Come on up. guys need prayer, come on up. Altar's open. I know. If you're thinking, Pastor Richard, this is kind of uncomfortable, maybe that's because you need to pray. It's time to be real, right? You got to wear a mask at church. Where can you be real? So if you got to repent, you got to let it go. If you got to confess, then let's just do it. Time to take the trash out. That's how you do it. If you got issues with people in this room right now, I want you to get up out your seat and talk to somebody. Well, the person you have issues with. Let's open it up. Let's open it up. Come on. Just another minute or two, and then we'll be done. Just another minute or two. I think they're getting ready just to wrap up out there. Let's do this. We'll just keep the altar open for a moment. That's what we're here for. How these people give up their afternoon and their evenings for you guys. They do that. They could be at home watching reruns, spending time with their kids, but they chose to be here with you. Take advantage of us while we're here. Let's pray. If you need a moment or two, we're here. The altar's open. But if you're done, go home and love your family. Make things right with the people that you aren't right with. And confess and repent to God in the areas you need to. So, Father, we thank you that tonight there is freedom in confession. Oh, God, that there is freedom in giving away the things you've given to us. Because, Lord, there's people in this room that need to heal other people. There's people in this room that need to cleanse the lepers at their school. There's people in this place that have treasure stored up that needs to be released. And, God, there's people in this place that have trash that needs to be taken out. So, Father, tonight I pray for freedom. Freedom to give and freedom to release. Not just today, but tomorrow and the days after. And Lord, I thank you, Father, for a youth ministry that is free. A youth ministry full of fine china. A youth ministry that refuses to be paper plates. And God, as we live that, we all believe and we all stand in faith. And we say that the Inland Empire shall be saved. Hey, you guys are dismissed. If you guys need to pray, if you guys need to chill, if you guys need a moment, if you were just waiting for everybody else to go, now is your time. Come on up and just soak and receive prayer if you need that. Otherwise, I'll see you guys next Sunday. And then next Wednesday for our sex series. That's going to be crazy.